Kunja Vihari. Jada Dhammadava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Puri Vajakacharya Astu Parasata Sri Shimadi Divine Grace of Avicharana Vrinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Namaste ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Lord Dr. Bhakti Kinja. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopal Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Guru Govardhan Kinja. Shri Vrindavan Dham Kinja. Shri Gangamaya Kinja. Shri Jamunamaya Kinja. Shri Madhukosi Devi Maharani Kinja. The Divine Grace Shri Prabhupada Kinja. The Lord Chap Shri Shri Radha Shyamasundar Kinja. The Lord Chap Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Kinja. The Lord Chap Shri Shri Gaunitaya Kinja. The Lord Chap Shri Shri Lakshmi Shri Madhya Kinja. Is the Divine Grace of the Prabhupada Ki Jai and the Fair Gaurapuna Mandir. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this morning we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, Text 50.
Dvamnasuranam asisanvayanam. Kutasta adya purusha purana. Dvam deva sakyam guna karma yuna. Ritas tvajayam kavi adadheja. Dvam nasuranam asi sanvayanam. Kutasta adya purusha purana. Dvam deva sakyam guna karma yona. Ritas dvajanam kavim adadeja. Dvam nasuranam asi sanvayanam. Putasta adya purusha purana. Dvam deva sakyam guna karma yona. Ritas tvajayam kavimada deja.
Please chant.
Dvam nasuranam asi sanvayanam. Kutasta adya purusha purana. Dvam deva sakyam guna karma yona. Ritas tvajayam kavimada deja. Dvam nasuranam asi sanvayanam. Kutasta adya purusha purana. Dvam deva sakyam puna karma yona. Ritas tvajayam kavimada deja. Dvam nasuranam asi sanvayana. Kutasta adya purusha purana. Dvam deva sakyam guna karma yona. Ritas tvajayam kavimada deha.
Mutters.
Dvam nasuranam asi sanvayanam. Kutasta adya purusha purana. Dvam deva sakyam guna karma yona. Ritas svajayam kavimada deja.
Mothers.
Dvam nasuranam asi sanvayanam. Kutasta adya purusha purana. Tvam deva satyam gunakarma yoma.
Rekas vajayam kavimada deja.
Dhamya suranam asisana dhanam. Kutasya ja purusha purana.
Word for word. Tuam, your lordship. Naha, of us. Suranam, of the demigods. Asi, you are. Sa anvayanam, with different gradations. Kuta staha, one who is unchanged. Adyaha, without any superior. Purushaha, the founder person. Purana, the oldest who has no other founder. Tvam, you. Deva, O Lord. Satyam, unto the energy. Guna karma yona, unto the cause of the material modes and activities. Rataha, semen by birth. Tu, indeed. Ajayam, for begetting. Kavim, the total living entities. Adade, initiated. Aja, one who is unborn. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, you are the original personal founder of all the demigods and the orders of different gradations. Yet you are the oldest and are unchanged. O Lord, you have no source or superior. You have impregnated the external energy with the semen of the total living entities. Yet you are unborn. Purport. The Lord, the original person, is the father of all other living entities, beginning from Brahma, the personality from whom all other living entities in different gradations of species are generated. Yet the Supreme Father has no other father. Every one of the living entities of all grades up to Brahma, the original creature of the universe, is begotten by a father, but he, the Lord, has no father. When he descends on the material plane out of his causeless mercy, he accepts one of his great devotees as his father to keep pace with the rules of the material world. But since he is the Lord, he is always independent in choosing who will become his father. For example, the Lord came out of a pillar in his incarnation of Narasimhadev, and by the Lord's causeless mercy, Ahalya came out of a stone by the touch of the lotus feet of his incarnation as Lord Sri Rama. He is also the companion of every living entity as the super soul, but he is unchanged. The living entity changes his body in the material world, but even when the Lord in the material world is in the material world, he is ever unchanged. That is his prerogative. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.3, the Lord impregnates the external or material energy, and thus the total living entities later came out in different gradations, beginning from Brahma, the first demigod, down to the insignificant ant. All gradations of living entities are manifested by Brahma and the external energy, but the Lord is the original father of everyone. The relationship of every living being with the Supreme Lord is certainly one of son and father, and not one of equality. Sometimes in love, the son is more than the father, but the relationship of father and son is one of the superior and the subordinate. Every living entity, however great he may be, even up to demigods like Brahma and Indra, is an eternally subordinate servitor of the Supreme Father. The Mahatattva principle is the generating source of all the modes of material nature, and the living entities take birth in the material world in bodies supplied by the mother, material nature, in terms of their previous work. The body is a gift of material nature, but the soul is originally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord.
Om Jnanatimandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanustute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vitale Shimati Shila Vibhava Prabhuti Namini Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajaydayane Prabhupada Nupadaya Nama Shri Vrabhava Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vitale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavali Pachata Deshatarani Hare Krishna. So, from the beginning of this chapter, the first few verses, there's something very interesting that is stated there, that this very qualified and great sage, Maitreya Muni, has been deputed by the Lord with a particular service, and that is to explain his position and his supreme majesty. So he is to stay back in the material world after Lord Krishna leaves and give this knowledge. And who is he giving this knowledge to? Highly qualified pure devotees like Vidura. So that sounds a little contradictory, isn't it? So throughout the Bhagavatam, we find statements like this, where devotees are glorifying the personality of Godhead, explaining his eternal transcendental position, explain who he is and his greatness, to understand his position, which means that we are able to understand our position. So, as we understand the position of the Lord, that how great the Lord is, then we understand also how significant we are. And thus it creates a gap of difference, as the more we understand the greatness of the Lord, the more we understand how insignificant we are. But when that gap is created, then the table turns around, that we are now able to understand, once we understand the position of the Lord, then we start to understand our relationship. And then that gap starts closing. And then we can evolve in different relationships with the Lord as we advance in our Krishna consciousness. So many places in the Bhagavatam, it's there, even in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarvakarna Karnam. Lord Brahma is explaining the position of the Lord, Ishvara Parama Krishna, that he is the supreme Ishvara, the supreme controller. And Anadir Adir Govinda, that Anadi, that there is no one, no founder of him, but Adi Govinda, that he's the original founder, he's the original person. So that's there. There are many other places, we can probably give some quotes, many other places throughout where the Lord is described as in his original position, different devotees, different sages. Like, for example, when Krishna was at Kurukshetra, when the gopis went there to see him, the Vrijabasis, and they wanted to drag him back to Vrindavan. Among those many people who were there are many of the sages, saints and sages, they were there. And they were glorifying the Lord, they were explaining and announcing about his original position. So in the Bhagavad Gita, before the battle of Kurukshetra, when Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, towards the end, Arjuna says that these saints and sages have explained this truth about you, and now you yourself are explaining it to me. That statement is there in Bhagavad Gita. So that's where Arjuna heard it from. At Kurukshetra, when the sages were describing, Arjuna heard that. And now Krishna is telling him directly. So those are some of the examples. And even with when Krishna was describing Bhagavad Gita and showed Arjuna his universal form, Arjuna's mood dropped from being the friend, the Sakha of Krishna. He dropped very low. And understanding that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I'm treating him like that. But then Krishna covered, by his yoga maya, he covered him so that he can reestablish that relationship. So many places that's there. And so this knowledge of who the Lord is a prerequisite, fundamental necessity for all devotees to understand the Lord's position. Just like when one goes to college, the very first probably 2 years of college is just general education that has nothing to do with one's major that they're going to major in. It's just general education, and then you can divert and specify in your particular field. So similarly, the general knowledge of the Lord is a prerequisite, is a general education and fundamental for our understanding of who the Lord is. But devotees wants to go beyond, like for example in the Damodarastika, Satyavrata Muni described, Nama Ishwaram Sachidananda Rupam. Namo Ishwaram. That I am offering my obeisances. Namo, offer my obeisances to who? Ishwara, that the Lord, the controller of this entire material world. So he's conscious of who Krishna is. Namamishwaram Sachidananda Rupam. But I want that the Lord's childhood pastimes, the pastimes with his dear devotees in Vrindavan, with his mother, particularly in Yashoda, that we want that particular pastime to be always remain in my heart. So he's conscious of the position of the Lord, but what relationship he wants to be in? He wants that relationship. This relationship of the Lord with his intimate pastimes. That's what he wants. But he's fully aware. So a devotee is always fully aware of the position of the Lord. But by the Lord's yoga maya potency, he would cover the devotees so that they can have that sweet relationship, so much so that they do not know Krishna as the Lord. But sometimes he does it, like for example in the same Damodar prayers with Mother Yashoda. When she looked into Krishna's mouth, when she was chastising him for eating dirt, she looked into Krishna's mouth. Krishna removed the veil of yoga maya to show her his position, who he is, that he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he quickly covered her back again so that that relationship continues. Similarly with the gopis, the very first verse of the Gopi Gita. How does that go? Oh, Jayate Ke. Okay. Vraja, yes. So Janmanar Vraja, that, O Lord, you have taken birth in this land of Vraja. So they are understanding that this is the Lord and he has taken birth in the land of Vraja. But then if you go to verse 4,
Natalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan.
So they're saying that, O Lord, you are not the son of Mother Yashoda, but you are the original personality of Godhead, the original supreme, O our dear friend. And you have come here due to the prayers of Lord Brahma to establish peace. So it sounds like a paradoxical again that they're addressing that the Lord, that you're the original person. But then, oh, our dear friend, but you are dear friend again. So it's like two sides of the coin you can see here. One, they are addressing him as the greatest personality, and the other, oh, you're just our friend. So like that, this is how yoga maya works with the devotee, that it makes them fully understand the Lord's position, and at the same time it brings about that sweetness by the covering or by the forgetfulness of his position, of course, as long as we are qualified, not that anyone can go and jump into that as long as we are qualified, then we can get into that inner circle where we can forget the Lord as to who he is. So that's why, like Srila Prabhupada stated here, that with all, Krishna has no father, no founder, but he has by his own independent prerogative, Srila Prabhupada used those words, that he can choose someone to be his mother and father if he wants to. We found that a force few incarnations. Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsinga, Dev, those four, there were no mothers and fathers. The Lord just appeared. From Varaha, Vamana, that's when he starts appearing with mothers and fathers. So he's independent, so he can do whatever he wants. So again, that the Lord would allow his devotees to act in that way, but they have full knowledge, like the gopis. Like for example, when Lord Ramachandra came, all these saints and sages, they want to have a relationship with Lord Ram the way Mother Sita did. But Lord Ram says no, that in this lifetime my vow is ekapatni brata, that one wife. But please come, take birth in the wombs of the gopis, and then you can have all your desires fulfilled when I appear, when I come in my original form as Krishna. So all these gopis, they are great saints and sages. Like for example, one of Radharani's name is Hari Rasa Pandita. That she understands, she's the greatest pandit, she's the greatest devotee that understands all of Krishna's position, all of his rasas, all the truths about him. But she acts in a very simple way. So one has to be qualified to act in this way as being eternal servants of the Lord. So it's not that they're not, that they are without knowledge. No, they are in full knowledge. So this is the position of a devotee, that they're in full knowledge of the personality of Godhead. And due to their advanced status, when they develop love for the Lord, then they can act in any relationship that increases the pleasure of the Lord with his devotees. So this is this knowledge is there. And sometimes it appears that the Lord or others may just appear, or the living entities might just appear, as Srila Prabhupada described here. And he gave the two examples of Lord Narsingadev and Ahalya. So it appears that Lord Narsingadev appears out of a pillar, that he's born from stone, from this pillar. But one who understands the intricacy of the pastimes of Lord Narsingadev understands differently, that he just appears as though he comes out of this pillar. Similarly, Ahalya, Srila Prabhupada gave this example in the purport also, that is described that she was one of the most beautiful women that Lord Brahma created. And she married the much older Gautama Rishi. So she was seduced by Lord Indra, who disguised as her husband. But due to her divine qualities of a woman, she was able to recognize that Indra, that this isn't her husband. But due to her feminine nature, she was subjected to that seduction. And as a result, Gautama Rishi cursed her to become a stone. But by the mercy of Lord Ram, by the touch of his lotus feet on that stone, after she had repented enough, he revived her. So that's the quote that Srila Prabhupada is giving here of Ahalya, that it appears as though Ahalya was born from a stone. Srila Prabhupada also gave the example that with a scorpion, that the scorpion would lay its eggs in the rice, and then the eggs would hatch. So to the ordinary person, it appears as though these scorpions were born from the rice. But one who understands the intricacies of how things work, they understand that the scorpion, they weren't born from rice, but they are born among the rice. That's where it was a fertile situation for them to appear. So, but ordinarily, that's how it appears to be. Similarly, everyone would think that, okay, we are born of material nature. But Srila Prabhupada explains in detail that no, that's not the case. That Lord Krishna, he manifested the Mahatattva, and then with the three modes of material nature, and which is the material nature and Lord Brahma. Then he himself impregnates material nature with the seed of the living entities. But that part is like hidden, it's like behind the scenes. No one sees that. What they saw is that people are being born, living different bodies are being born every day. Just like the mother produces a child, Everyone sees that the mother produces a child. But no one sees that the father is the one who injects that semen to fertilize the mother. That's like behind the scenes. So Krishna's position is like that. He is the original person. He's a seed-giving father. Aham bija pradapita. So he's the original father. And from him everything comes. But the Lord, again, he would cover by the devotees, also by the devotees' surrender. Then the Lord allows them into his rasa, into different relationship. And he covers them so that they don't know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes he would lift that veil, let them get a temporary recollection, and then he would cover them again. So, without that covering, then love doesn't really manifest as much, because once that knowledge is there, that this is the highest Supreme Person and I'm an insignificant person, living entity, then it's hard to have a relationship. But when it's covered, then there's more of a free-flowing atmosphere. And then love can be there. I remember we used to tell a story with a Guyanese man who sent his daughter to America, apparently a very beautiful girl. And after some years, she went back to Guyana with her husband. So she came and she married this very ugly, gross-looking guy, dirty, don't bathe, smells. So he went back and says, "Daddy, here's my husband." So Daddy was shocked, and Daddy was looking around, looking past him, and said, "Oh, where is he?" He said, "Oh, can you see? He's right here over my shoulders." So he said, "Oh, my dear daughter, out of all of America, you couldn't have find somebody better to marry?" Then she said, "Daddy, don't you know that love makes you blind?" He said, "But my child, if you couldn't see, you couldn't smell." So the idea is that, you know, love makes us blind. And Krishna creates that love, Krishna creates that atmosphere, that yoga maya to cover so that our love can manifest. You know, so that is a strong attraction. So this is the essence that we always have to keep behind us as devotees, that we understand, we have to understand the Lord's position. Like when I first started reading the Bhagavatam, I was thinking, what's the need of all these? About all the cosmic creation and all so much complicated mess that I initially called it. I didn't know too much, as I don't know now as well. But I was thinking, this is such a complicated stuff. What does this have to do with spiritual life? But yes, it is important, because we need to understand the Lord's position. We need to understand who He is. And thus, we are able to appreciate. So when we move into the higher cantos, going up to the ninth and then into the tenth canto, of seeing Krishna's lila, the Lord's position, his pastimes, then we are able to appreciate much better. We are able to understand. And even though we might act in a very innocent way, just like the gopis, they were acting as very simple village girls. All the Brijbasis, they were acting as very, very, very simple village people. But they had the highest knowledge of who God was and of who God is. Without a doubt, they were the highest, they were the most qualified. And you never hear them talking about Krishna as being God. Just like when, we mentioned this a few times, when Bilva Mangala Thakur went to Vrindavan, he was told to go and to find Bhagavan there. When he went there, he was asking for Bhagavan. He says, "There's no Bhagavan here, there's no God here." And then he recollected and he said, "Oh, I'm searching for Krishna." And he said, "Oh, Krishna, he's here, we all love him so much." And everybody got in ecstasy by just hearing Krishna's name. So that's like the essence, that's the qualification, that's the parameter of the Vrajavasis, they are encircled in that protective circle to see the Lord in that highly elevated way and to keep in that protection. Just like when Ram went to try to find that deer and he left Mother Sita in the care of Lakshman. When this demon imitated Ram's voice calling for help, Lakshman told Sita, don't worry with that's an illusion. That's an illusion. But she didn't accept that. She said, no, that you have to go and help. So Lakshman said, okay, then I'll make this protective circle around you with his bow. And once you stay in this circle, everything will be fine. Don't ever step out. But by her kind nature, she disobeyed that instruction when Ravana came in disguise, and she stepped out. And we know what happened after that. The entire story of that catastrophe unfolded. So devotees are like that. We keep ourselves in this circle. Not that we're not concerned about the outside world, not that we don't want to know about the outside world, or that we don't have knowledge of the outside world. Like Srila Prabhupada created so many systems. Now they have the BI, Bhaktivedanta Institute. He instructed Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj to preach from the scientific point of view. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also, they were preaching to the United Nations. And so much highly qualified Garuda Prabhu, he told him, go and get all the education you can and preach from that point of view. So Srila Prabhupada established this whole Siddhanta and bring about a vast expanse so that our entire lives can be encompassed and we have nothing short. So this knowledge would be there, but for many of us, this all complicated business, like Sariputta Prabhu's books, with all these scientific, highly elevated scientific matters, goes way over most of our heads. Sometimes you wonder what's that all about? What does that have to do with us? But no, it's important for the world that we're living in. And some devotees have to be qualified to explain that and understand. Similar like Maitreya Muni here, Krishna particularly instructed him to stay behind and transmit this knowledge of his Supreme Majesty. So that was his particular duty as deputed to him. So not everybody Krishna instructed like that. And there are others that were just his loving devotees inside and so forth. So all these categories are there, and throughout the Bhagavatam again we find so many different descriptions, so many people who are describing the Lord's position. Brahma Samhita, Vedesu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto, that with all his knowledge is there, but from the Vedas you cannot access the Lord, you cannot know who the Lord is. Vedesu Adurlabham, that this knowledge of the Vedas cannot give you the highest taste of who the Lord is. But Durlabham Atma Bhakto, but by pure devotional service we can understand. Is it the other way around? Vedesu Durlabham. Yes, thank you. Vedesu Durlabham, by knowledge of the Vedas you can't understand, but Adurlabham Atma Bhakto, by devotional service we can understand. So this principle is there, and throughout there are so many different prayers that are there. Like you also have the prayers of the Vrindadevi Ashtaka. I like to read that once in a while, at least once a week I try to read that. And it's described there that that anywhere in Vraja, this is the mood of the Vrajavasis to understand the loving relationship of Lord Krishna. not to understand the very big philosophical position or his original position, but to understand this loving relationship. In essence, that's the last verse of the Vrinda Devi Astaka is described like that. So anyway, these are some points I have here. I would like to stop, and if anyone has any question or questions, Maharaj. So Maharaj told me this is coming.
No, nothing to criticize. I had a kind of more technical question. Something that I was not understanding for so many years, and if you just touch on that very briefly, I guess it may seem a little dry. And then the other is more fundamental. So can I ask two questions?
Okay. You might have to end up answering them yourself, but let's try.
The technical question is, we hear about, and there's a sort of an interface here between the content of this section of the Bhagavatam, these verses, and what we've been reciting in the morning after Mangala Arati, the Brahma Sangita. We hear about seeds, a living entity, and sperms, and all these things, how the cosmic manifestation seems to or just common reproduction in this world, there seems to be a parallel to the reproduction of yoni and linga and all that in terms of the cosmic creation. So the particular doubt that I have, or something I just never understood, is what is the relationship you hear about Mahavishnu impregnates the Mahatattva with time and karma agenda, and also with the, instead of a living entity, but the seeds of the living entity. So that's a little technical. I mean, how, is it the same thing as the living entity, or is it something more prior to the living entity, and something more subtle, or, so we don't have to spend a lot of time on
that. Oh, okay, yeah.
It's
yes, so.
Technical question.
Yeah. So, many times, like when Srila Prabhupada describes in his works, he used certain terms that previous to him, you didn't find it like existing. Like, for example, the word bhakti. Bhakti means devotion. Previous to Srila Prabhupada's writing, you never found the word bhakti described in any other way. In Srila Prabhupada's works, how does he describe bhakti? As devotional service. So he add the word service to it, which, and he's perfectly correct in that, to bring about a certain understanding, to clarify our understanding of what we should do. So similarly, like Srila Prabhupada describes what you're talking about, that
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta,
That the seed, that you know, that the seed of the living entities, which my understanding is that he's talking about the living entities, but he put it over in a such a way because the living entity, that seed, is what gives life to those bodies in the Mahatattva. So the living entities, just like we talked about the process of procreation in the class, of where the father injects that seed, that semen. So that's how Lord, my understanding, that's how the Lord injected that seed in the Mahatattva. So when he says the seed of the living entities, my understanding is that he's talking about the living entities. And the material nature creates the different body due to their past karma. He injects a soul into that and makes them alive. Yeah, but Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada give purports to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's purports also to make us understand. That gives more detail.
Right, so what you're saying, touching some fundamental question. They're both related to the mood and mission, which we thought about how to finish, how to experience. So it's kind of like we hear in American jargon, you hear like hurry up and slow down. Sometimes in the military, hurry up and slow down. So the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada, it's like on the one hand, you have to hurry up and cut to the chase and think about parampara, like how the recent acharyas were mostly not only gopis but manjaris. And this is our legacy, this is what we have to live up to. There's one quote that Prabhupada said that the goal of this Krishna consciousness movement is just to dance with Krishna, to join Krishna's dance. In other words, Madhurya Ras all the way. But then on the other hand, more of Srila Prabhupada's general teaching, output, and exposition is to establish theism. You know, in other words, hurry up and slow down. Hurry up and go to the nectar part and get there, and that's what we're all about. That's our, particularly, that's the Gaudiya, not the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We go there and we have to expound on that and show it. But then on the other hand, out of compassion for the very sorry state of the general population of the world, Srila Prabhupada spent so much energy and time just to establish, that his purport is just basic fundamental theism, that God is a person, that there's no one superior to him. We were hearing, I think, Nagaraj was instructing us that actually being God is just like a sideline for Krishna.
Yes.
That's not Krishna's main, you know, focus, to be God. There's so much about that. Even myself says I'm not so attracted when I'm worshiping with optimism. Like, you know, love is undermined or appreciated by a sense of majesty. And there's a good quote from the John of the Rusty. So hurry up and slow down. To, how do we accommodate these two necessities? To cut to the chase, to reach the Siddhanta of Bodhi Sampradaya at the same time, to first of all just establish healing.
Okay, so Srila Prabhupada said that we have to carry on this preaching work, but through this preaching work, we have to keep our focus, that our focus is to go back home, back to Godhead. But this is how we purify ourselves. So we have to do with enthusiasm, at the same time we have to be patient. Shraddha Utsaham. So all these are necessary, but if we get caught by these, that's when we're hurrying up without slowing down. If we get caught by all this scientific, you know, theism and all this philosophy and expounding in these different ways as you're describing, without keeping the focus that every day we have to chant our rounds, we have to follow, we have to maintain our sadhana, we have to maintain our surrender, it's very easy for us to get astray. So that is the hurry up, is that we have limited time in this world. And Srila Prabhupada, obviously, you know, he mentioned so many times that he has limited time. But we have to slow down in that we have to remember what our goal is. That's like there was one story with a king. He told his personal servants, he says, I'm in a rush, so therefore take your time and dress me properly. So they said, what does that mean? So my father, like many things Srila Prabhupada, like these little nectars that he would told, my father told me when I was a little child. So my father told me this story also. So he explains that whenever you're in a rush, you have to take your time, if not more haste, less speed. So if we go with the haste of expounding all these theses, but we don't have the patience to practice our devotional service and understand that through these activities we can pave our way, patiently pave our way back to Godhead, then we are going to go astray. So Srila Prabhupada always qualifies, as far as I can tell from whatever I've read, Srila Prabhupada would always qualify that statement with patience. He even talked about the deity. To worship the deity, we have to be so very patient. To practice our spiritual life, to carry out our duties, we have to be very patient. In any ashram you're in, whether you're sannyas, brahmachari, grihastha, or whichever, everyone requires so much patience and so much enthusiasm, so much aggression. So we have to have the aggression to carry on. Like Prabhupada says, we should be a lion in the chase and a lamb at home. So those two has to be there. If not, it's not going to work. So that's just my take on that, Maharaj. Is there anything else you want to add to that, or you have something else? Okay, so Trivikram Prabhu.
I was thinking the seeds of the living entity could also be like the desire of the living entities. But my question is there some information about the jivas before they enter the Father? I mean, how they enter the Father and where were they before they enter the Father? And then another quick question is each drop of semen a living entity, a soul?
That's getting into very technical details, out the scope of this class, but it's described many places that after the winding up of the Brahma's era and the Mahatattva, then all these living entities re-enters into the body of the Lord, and they remain dormant until the next manifestation. So that's where, in essence, that's where they came from. They were there, they're eternal. Every living entity are eternal entities and eternal souls. There was never a beginning nor an end. And the cycle goes on. So that's where they came from. And that this arrangement, this whole scientific arrangement is there. That depends on the karma. Then they get a suitable body. So Lord Brahma and Mahatattva, they create that body. And the Lord himself takes care of the entities in there. So in essence, they're much more which we shouldn't, beyond the scope of this class to discuss. That can be more discussed elsewhere. So anything else, Mother Ragapnik?
It seems that that original injecting the living entities into the material energy, that these living entities have been earmarked to be conditioned souls. You see, he's not injecting the internally liberated souls in his eternal lila.
Yeah.
You got it? I mean,
yes. You're correct. They're earmarked. Yes, you're correct. But they're not earmarked from the will of the Lord. They're earmarked from the sanction of the Lord, if you understand the difference between the two.
Yeah.
Because of their karma from previous.
But the original, the original.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, the original. And that's stated in Bhagavatam 326, 23 and 24, I think. It's stated there that from pure consciousness, false ego develops. Srila Prabhupada stated like that. From these pure living entities, because the nature, and if you read Bhagavad Gita 14.3, some more explanation is there, that the living entity, we are superior nature, because we are spiritual. But because we are minute, we have the tendency to be covered. And because the Mahatattva, the material nature is very strong, Devi he isho gunamai mama maya durachaya. That is material energy, Krishna is saying, is very, very strong. And don't feel so confident that you can overcome it very easily. So the living entity can be succumbed to different situations. And they have to act through the Mahatattva truly. So whenever they're winding up at the end of one session, per se, then these entities, whatever their background are, that is stored, what we can say is stored in the law books. And at the time of the new manifestation, then they come into that particular situation. Just like a child may be born in a particular situation. You know that. And no scientist can figure out why this person with this nature comes into this modern father who has that nature. They can't figure that out.
I understand how that plays out in subsequent creations,
yeah,
and manifestation.
Yeah. But originally, that's why I quoted Bhagavatam here. Yeah, it's there in the Bhagavatam. But let me see if I can find it real quick.
In other words, all living entities were eternally liberated.
Yes.
But then a false ego enters in, and some individuals decided they wanted to enjoy independently of Krishna. Mm. And therefore, the material manifestation came into being, and Krishna injects these souls. No? Okay, there's no real original.
Mm. Okay, here's what Srila Prabhupada said. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. Verses 23 and 24. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada started off by saying, in the beginning, from clear consciousness or the pure state of Krishna consciousness, the first contamination sprang up. This is called false ego or identification of the body as self. The living entity exists in the natural state of Krishna consciousness, but he has marginal independence and thus allows him to forget Krishna. Originally, pure Krishna consciousness exists, but because of misuse of marginal independence, there is a chance of forgetting Krishna. This is exhibited in actual life, and it goes on. So, talking about the living entity that.
Talk about the history of the individual jiva.
Yes, so the history of the individual jiva, that they were all in pure consciousness, but due to independence, because we have independence, we can choose, you know, like the saying that one never misses the water until the well runs dry. So we're in a good state, but sometimes we don't recognize that we're in a good state until something bad happens. Then we realize, oh, you know, we were in such a good position and we didn't recognize it. So it's something like that, to bring it in a like a base platform, that originally they were in a pure state of Krishna consciousness. But because we have independence, the Lord always, that's one of the things that the Lord never takes away from the living entity. The quality of independence. If not, there would be no question of love, because you cannot force love. Love has to be reciprocal. It has to be independently applied. Does that make any sense? A little bit? Okay. So, Stitidi Muni
Prabhu?
I think
you got it. Well, I mean, we talk about the history of Jiva. Jiva is an autonomous. They have their own independence.
So anyway, yes, Prabhu, what's your good name?
Anil.
Anil.
The problem, there are two types of jiva, nitya, pratha, and esita. So how, doesn't sound logical that jiva was originally in Krishna consciousness, because there are jivas, they are nitya, pratha, and there are jivas, they are nitya, esita. So it makes sense that only nitya, esita, they are the only ones who are always in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada and Bhagavatam also explains many times in many places that, nitya, esita, they never fall down from the spiritual condition to the condition of Krishna consciousness.
Srila Prabhupada explains that originally every living entity are nitya siddhas. They are in the eternal world, fully pure and Krishna conscious. But again, because they have this independence, then they have the choice to choose to stay in that position or to deviate. Because sometimes contamination comes that, we want to enjoy separately. And once that comes about, then they become conditioned. And the reason why they use the word nityabada, eternally conditioned, it doesn't literally mean eternally conditioned. What it means, and Srila Prabhupada explains that in his purports, that because they're going to be in this conditioned state for so long, it appears as though it's eternal. So does that make sense? They are not eternally conditioned, but because they are going to stay here for such a long time, it may appear as though they are eternally conditioned. So, anyway, lastly, I want to say that, we have this young Mataji here, probably coming for the first time, and hearing such a, complicated class. I hope it doesn't disturb your mind. Yes, Today the class gets a little complicated, where we discuss a lot of higher intricacies that are a little bit beyond our norms. So thank you very much for having a patient hearing and being here. Were you saying something? Okay, so thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.